Luke, what was the biggest Colorado River story you reported on in 2018?
I think the biggest story in the watershed in 2018 was the creation of these drought contingency plans. So these plans have been in the works for over 3 years now, and really they're a response to some older rules that were passed about 11 years ago to manage shortages of water within the entire Colorado River system. And several years ago, water managers realized that the current rules that they had on the books weren't cutting it, and that the biggest reservoirs in the Southwest, Lakes Mead and Powell, were dropping really drastically. And so the drought plans are sort of a roadmap meant to keep those reservoirs from dropping even further. And essentially, they're asking states to cut back on their water use before something really bad happens. And that's a big ask for states in the Southwest, like Colorado and Arizona and Utah, New Mexico, California. Those are states that rely on irrigated agriculture and growing urban economies. They have some of the fastest growing cities in the country. The creation of those plans definitely captured a lot of attention throughout the entire watershed.
Well, we're just a few days into 2019, but what do you see as the big Colorado River story this year?
Well, those plans haven't been finished. So they were being put together in 2018. At a recent meeting, the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation commissioner told the states that they had to finish their drought contingency plans by January 31st, and that if they missed that deadline, then the federal government could start meddling or creating new regulations, new rules in Colorado River management. And so that's going to be a big story going into 2019, is will the states meet that deadline? If they do and create these plans, what does implementation of those plans actually look like? And if they don't meet that deadline, what does that federal involvement in Western water affairs actually look like?
And of course, a lot of stories about the Colorado River and about water in general are very steeped in policy and politics and data. Luke, are there any stories coming up that have a particular human angle, how this affects people?
Yeah, so I'm working on a couple stories about cloud seeding and weather modification. And I know that that's something that's come up just recently in the Roaring Fork Valley. There have been some new proposals to create new weather modification or cloud seeding programs within the Roaring Fork Valley. So that's something that's not just taking place in Western Colorado, but throughout the upper basin of the Colorado River. So I'm going to be looking at that. I know it sounds kind of like sci-fi that people are doing cloud seeding, trying to wring out more moisture from individual clouds, but it's happening, and it's happening kind of on a large scale throughout the West. So I'll be looking at that. And then we're also going to be doing some reporting about the Colorado River Delta. The river is supposed to connect with the Pacific Ocean. It hasn't for years and years. And the historic channel of the river through Mexico is this desiccated, dry, sandy riverbed. But there's a few little bright spots in that reach of the river. And so we're going to be doing some reporting looking at sort of the human impact of what happens when you remove water from a river. What does it look like in those Mexican communities? And what does it take to bring water back to some of those areas?
Luke, your reporting on the Colorado River has taken you from the headwaters in Rocky Mountain National Park through Western Colorado, Utah, Arizona, and into the Delta region, as we just mentioned. So if someone were to say to you, I live in Carbondale, Colorado, why do I care about water issues in central Arizona? What would you say to them?
I think for a long time, people thought of the Colorado River Basin as a set of individual states or a set of two basins that were not connected, and that each state could take its share and not think about who else was either downstream or upstream from them. And that's just not really the case anymore. I think a lot of people would say that that's pretty outdated thinking, and you have to think of the watershed as a whole, and you have to treat it as a whole in order for you to avoid some of these tragedy of the commons type situations when it comes to water scarcity. And if you're not thinking of the people downstream or upstream of you, then you could be making some decisions that could hurt you in the long term.
Was there something in the course of your Colorado River reporting that caught you completely by surprise, you know, kind of gave you an oh wow moment?
Yeah, there was one story in 2018 that I did, basically a profile of a sheriff's deputy in Montezuma County down near the Four Corners. And his whole job, at least in the summertime and the spring and the fall, is enforcing water law in the state. And to me, it was surprising because it feels like it's sort of a futuristic type job. He is going out into the field and literally keeping people from coming to blows over water scarcity in an area that is most likely going to see more and more scarcity as climate change progresses. And talking to him, it seems like he's only going to have more and more conflict to de-escalate going forward.
Luke Runyon reports on Colorado River issues from the headwaters to the Delta. He joined us to summarize his 2018 reporting and look forward to his 2019 work. Luke, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it, Mark.
And I'm Mark Dugan, KDNK News.